Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations, my friends. I'm your host, Linda Joy, Mindset Mojo mentor, intentional living guide, and publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. I don't know about you, but I have always loved working with energy and feng shui and have learned so much about how clutter affects our lives. Did you know that clutter could be blocking your path to abundance? Did you know that your home and every object within it reflects and reinforces your inner landscape? Today, we're going to be exploring the connection between mindset, emotions, and your physical environment so you can take steps to create spaces supportive of the life we desire to live. Joining me today is an old friend, a soul sister, a frequent contributor to Aspire Magazine, Felicia Messina de Haiti. Felicia is a feng shui and soul coach, teacher, speaker, award-winning educator, and contributing author of several best-selling books, which I'm honored to be the publisher of. As Denise Lin, the award-winning author of Sacred Space, shares, Felicia is a remarkable teacher and practitioner. She knows how to get to the core of an issue quickly and easily. Her ability to implement transformations in lives of others is truly inspiring. I'm continually in awe of the abilities of this compassionate woman. You know, Felicia has numerous certifications in coaching, Reiki, feng shui, clutter clearing, dream work, oracle cards, and other related areas. She has served as a master mentor for Denise Lin's Elemental Space Clearing Certification course, as well as her Ultimate Clutter Clearing Coach Certification course. I am so excited to have you here for this sacred conversation, Felicia.
Thank you, Linda. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Well, we've known each other a long time, and you've been writing for Aspire off and on for a number of years, and I've learned so much from your writing and just knowing you personally. And you know, this is like a topic that I always get so like juiced up about, because for years I didn't know. I was so unconscious about that the truth that everything is energy, right? And the more I almost said shit. Well, I will say it. The more shit we have in our house weighing us down is really a reflection of what's going on within, and vice versa. So let's talk about that. What is the relationship between us and our home and physical environment?
So everything, because we are, we are energy, and everything in our world is made of energy. We interact with this energy, and we're constantly in relationship with the things in our environment. And so when we set up our homes, when we choose the pictures, the artwork, the colors, it's all an energetic reflection of our mindset and our emotions, and really beliefs that we may not even be conscious of at the time. If you think about your home as a three-dimensional vision board, you're constantly like creating and reinforcing what is represented in your mind and your emotions.
I love that, a 3D vision board. And so as we, let's say we walk into a room, I'm very visual, so I'm hit that way. Does everyone process the energy differently?
Yes. So everyone processes and interacts with their environment in a different way. And oftentimes, people may not even be aware of the impact that their environment has on them. But if you ever were in a circumstance where you walked into a room after an argument and can still feel the heaviness in the space, or if you've ever walked into a room that was preparing, you know, where you were preparing for a party or a celebration, the energy there would be very different and would have a different impact on your body and your own energy.
I can relate to that because I'm very sensitive to that. And one of my elderly relatives, as many of them do, had a lot of, you know, some just like to collect everything. Mm-hmm. And so her living room is just, there is stuff everywhere. And I don't mean the clutter like all over the floors. I mean, she just has like 50 photos on the walls, every kind of knickknack. And when I walk in there, I actually feel constricted. But for years, when I was a child, because it's the same way as when I was a child, right? When I walked in, I never used to understand why I felt what I felt because I wasn't aware. And then as I became aware, I was like, whoa, it made me more conscious of what I wanted to feel in my own home. Have you heard stories like that? Like once you get that the energy of your home is affecting you, you become more conscious of keeping it maintained.
Yes, definitely. Especially like when we are living in an environment and we're in there every day, everything kind of blends into the background and we might not realize the impact that things have on us. Or if we're growing up in a home, we might not be as cognizant of, you know, the impact the energy has. But if you go, you know, you walk into a home where you're not usually there, you can feel it more deeply. And then it can make you more aware when you go back to your own home, what's going on here?
Well, one of the things I noticed for myself too, Felicia, is like now, not years ago, but now, sometimes I get this nudge, just clear out and see what you can get rid of in that cabinet. And I'm like, why are you feeling the nudge to do that? But once I get started, it's like I find papers that I don't need anymore. It's almost like our inner wisdom knows when something is meant to be cleared. So now I follow the nudge, as illogical as the timing may be. Do you feel that way sometimes too?
I do. I often get urges like, you haven't gone to this area, or you haven't cleared out. You need to go here and clear something out. And usually I find that it's related to the need for just a shift in energy in my life at the time. So if I'm working on a project, if I am trying to start something new and I feel that urge, I definitely go ahead and clear out the stuff because that means I'm making space for something new to come into my life.
I love that. And, you know, I've known you a long time, read all your articles, and that's one tip that I've used over and over again from you is when you want to call something in, make space for it. Right?
Yeah.
You have to have energetic space, but also physical space, correct?
Correct, definitely. Whenever we set, so energy will always like fill a vacuum. And whenever you have a new intention or something new that you want to bring in, you have to think about, is there physical and energetic space for me to welcome this into my life? And if there isn't, the energy, you know, the universe is just going to say, oh, well, there's no room, so I'll just move on, or it's not time yet.
And I love that. One of the things I noticed, like, say there's a room in your house. Well, no, let me rephrase this. Is there a certain area of the house of when you want to call in abundance that we should work on? Like, I understand the Bagua, but for those who have never heard of it, what area of the house would that be if we were talking about abundance?
Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the abundance area of the home, so based on the Bagua, which is an energy map, when you're standing in your front door facing into your home, it would be the back left corner of your house or the back left corner of a room if you're working on a smaller space.
Okay, so One of the questions I have is about the front door, because I don't know about you. Like, I have a front door, which I will call the architectural front door, but I always use the back porch door because it's closest to the driveway. So I know that's come up a few times in conversation with friends, like, and they laid it out based on the door they're always using, but that's not correct, right? Do we go by the architectural door?
Yes. I always recommend going by the architectural front door of the home. So even if you don't use the front door, it is still considered the mouth of chi, or it's where the energy is welcomed into and brought into your home. And even if you don't use that door regularly, I would recommend placing the bagua based on the architectural front door, and even, you know, with your front door, making sure that you do use it. At least, even if it's just to open the door and welcome in new energy into your home every day.
It's funny because years ago, I think you were either in one of my summits or this radio show or an article, you shared so much wisdom with my brains. You shared something, and I can't remember if it was about a specific time of year or a moon, but you said, open the door and say, welcome abundance, welcome radiant health. And when I do that, I look across at my old home where five nuns bought our house. And one day, not thinking, I'm like, open the door and I'm like, welcome in abundance. And I look up and they're all standing there like, what is she doing? Which brought that, thankfully they know me so well, but I remember looking up and they're like, there is nobody there. Why does she keep opening the door? Because I'd open it with every statement. That's powerful though, right? It's like using that door to welcome in the chi.
Yes, definitely. You're welcoming in new energy. You're keeping the energy moving in your house. And it's very important not to have stagnant energy in your home, because that's another form of clutter.
Well, it's funny because I can feel it too. Like, I will intuitively know. I'll give you an example. Like, last year, as you know, I ended up in the hospital. So for about a month, I couldn't make it up the stairs to my office, right? Mm-hmm. So when I finally was recovered and I came upstairs in my office, the door had been closed. I hadn't been in there. I felt it immediately, Felicia. I'm like, oh no, there's some stagnant stuff going on in here. So I took my little steel hand drum. I have a spray too. I opened all the windows, but I went in. I felt like intuitive, like I had to do this. So I went to every corner and I have a little goddess nook and went in there because I didn't want any stagnant energy hiding in my little nook. And it was that intuitive of a knowing. So that's what you're talking about. We have to move the energy in every area of our house, even closets, right? Because it can get stuck in there.
Yes, definitely.
Go ahead.
Oh, if there's a room that you know you won't be using for a while, or that's just not used in general, you could do simple things like turning on a fan, or even playing music in the room will keep the energy moving in there.
It's funny that you said that, because we have a spare bedroom for when the little goddess comes over or anyone else, and it's across from my office, but it doesn't get used every day. But a couple months ago, I was just led to leave a sound machine in there, and it's the ocean surf. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's moving the energy.
Yes. Definitely.
And I actually have the same sound in my our master bedroom, because I just love keeping the energy going. We're going to take a quick break. And when we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Felicia Messina Dehaiti. You can learn more at FeliciaDehaiti.com. We'll be right back, my friends.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is Felicia Messina Dehaiti, a feng shui and soul coach, and we're talking today about energy, clutter, and our favorite topic, abundance. So you shared so much about the energy in our home. How does clutter affect abundance?
Clutter clogs our energy, clogs our pathways. And it's a way of, it also sends a message out to the universe that, hey, I have plenty of stuff here. I don't need anything else. So it kind of blocks and restricts our ability to welcome in new things, new opportunities, new money, anything new. It restricts and prevents it from coming into our life more easily.
I think that's beautiful. I remember when I was younger, you know, I was a welfare mom, so I had some of those beliefs that, well, I have to save this just in case. You know, it comes from the programming from childhood. And now I'm like, no, that's taken up space in my energy field and in my life. And so now I'm very intentional, probably for the last 5 years, very intentional with everything that I purchase, as well as everything that I place in my home, right? And it has made a world of difference in like, in how I feel in my own home, but also like in the things we purchase that we sometimes do just out of habit. Have you noticed, and for myself, I notice there's such a freedom in that.
Yes, definitely. It's once we become more intentional about, I mean, if you think about every object in your house as being either a guest or a resident, think about who do you want or what do you want to invite into your home to share your space and share your energy. So over the years, I know I've become very more aware of what I do buy and what I do bring into the home. And sometimes it, you know, it involves a shift of releasing something else to bring in the new object or the new item.
Yeah, well, about 3 years ago, right before we built our intentional home that I'm in now, we were purging what we used to call the big house. And as I remember going through this 5-drawer filing cabinet, Felicia, and finding papers that I had for like 15 years, like what the frick was I saving this stuff off? Boxes that I, of what I would say was memorabilia and stuff that I hadn't even opened in the 18 years I had been in that house. And I remember saying all that stuff was stored, which is energy, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized there cannot be any emotional connection to this stuff if I never opened the boxes in 18 years. And I had to do a ritual to release them, right? Some stuff, of course, got shredded, but some stuff was, thank you for being a part of my life. Thank you for what you added. It's time to release you. And I I would donate it and envision blessing someone else, like that someone else would find it and love it. But that was a big eye opener for me after 20 years in that home to say, how much stuff are we storing that we're not even looking at and we don't realize what it's costing us energetically?
Yes, definitely. And that's actually a strategy for clutter clearing is if you have things that you're not quite sure whether or not you want to keep, you can put them in a box, seal them up and kind of put an expiration date on it. And if you haven't even thought about what's in the box, by the time, you know, the expiration date comes around, just get rid of it. A lot of times we have, you know, we keep things because in the moment they were significant for us, but, you know, we're changing every day with new experiences, we develop new beliefs, we transform. And so what may have been significant for you, you know, some years ago doesn't have the same meaning now, but it could be possibly gifted to somebody else and have meaning in their lives.
Yeah, and it brought me so much joy actually to donate it, but also it made me feel, when I purged everything, you know, the stuff that I tossed, not donated, it felt like 1,000 pounds came off me. Mm-hmm. Right? It was over a period of 3 months that we were, you know, clearing the house. And I was like, oh my God, what am I creating space for? Now, here's what I found funny is my business. So that was like 3 years ago, give or take a couple months. When I did that, a vision for another aspect of my business dropped in during that time. And I remember going, this is all related. There was no room for it to come before. So do you find that people that when they, after they do a major clutter clearing, it could be a new relationship comes in, abundance, or maybe a business idea. Do you have a lot of feedback from your clients on that?
I do actually. And it's, you know, it seems like magic. a lot of people don't realize that once they kind of release these things from their lives, it just like magically opens up, I don't want to say like a portal or new waves of energy to come in with new ideas, new clients. Sometimes I've had clients who, once they clear out all of their like old financial files and files they don't need anymore, they all of a sudden start getting more client calls.
Yes. And you know, there's a flip side to that too, is when I clear out old stuff, like you just said, I also love to, this is for business owners, I also love to get some brand new file folders. So I clear out the old to make space. Then I get file folders and say I want to call in 5 new clients in that quarter. I create the folders and stand them up, new client number one, number two. It's like I'm holding space for them to come. But before I could hold space for them, I had to clear the space.
Yes, definitely. And it's also very helpful to, so if you already know that you want 5 more clients, you could clutter clear with that intention. So I am clutter clearing this file drawer in order to welcome in 5 new clients. And so,
ooh, I like that.
Yeah. When you clutter clear intentionally like that, when you already know what you want to bring in, or at least the feeling of what you want to bring in, it, helps the energy to like bring in the energy that you desire as you are releasing the old energy.
Now I'm all about that because I love using affirmations. Like when I'm doing mandala coloring books, instead of just coloring, I focus on affirmation as I'm doing the mandalas. It's like setting my intention to the divine, right? Mm-hmm. Something else too is I remember, I think it was one of your articles, maybe it was a conversation. This is going back many years. It was about relationships. Like, and if, say, someone's single, but their other side of the bed and the nightstand is all cluttered and there's no room in the closet, how can they call someone in when there's no energetic space for them?
Exactly. That's very important, that you must make physical, emotional, and energetic space for welcoming in new relationships.
Yeah, I remember reading something about that, and I was like, it makes sense though, doesn't it? Like, once you know about energy, this is why I love the work you do, because you're always educating us in how to work with energy. Once you understand it, it's kind of fun. It's fun to work with it.
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah, I have a ball. And I just follow like 2 weeks ago, I have no idea why, because we've only been in the house 2 years. I decide to go through all the big cabinets. And, you know, Dana walks in like, what the heck are you doing? And I'm like, I just felt it. I had to do it. And I felt so good after. Guess what? A couple of days later, an opportunity came. Now, I wasn't thinking about calling in an opportunity, but I believe that when we just move energy on its own and follow our intuition, that the divine says, thank you for making space so I can deliver that which was meant for you.
Yes, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, it feels good to me. We're going to take another break. When we come back in a moment, I want to talk about, you know, what the most important aspect of clutter clearing is that will create lasting change. So I'll be back in a moment. I am with Felicia Messina DeHaiti of FeliciaDeHaiti.com. Be sure to swing by her website, check out her sacred free offering, as well as all the other amazing programs she has for you. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you feeling called to clear your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual blockages? That's your soul and environment speaking to you and asking you to uncover all the clutter that is preventing you from living the life you envision. Felicia Messina DeHaiti, soul coaching master practitioner and trainer and teacher of advanced interior alignment and medicine wheel feng shui, supports her international clientele by creating inner and outer transformation in their environments and their lives by combining elements from her extensive training, experience, and intuition. Felicia is a master intuitive coach certified by Colette Baron Reed and has served as a master mentor for Denise Lin's Elemental Space Clearing certification course, as well as her Ultimate Clutter Clearing. Explore her offerings, including certification courses in feng shui, space clearing, soul coaching, and Reiki at FeliciaDeHaiti.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Welcome back, my friends. So right before the break, we were talking about the relationship between clutter and abundance. So I'm curious, Felicia, what do you feel is the most important aspect of clutter clearing that will create lasting change for our listeners?
I believe the most important aspect and the step one of everything is to start with an intention. So looking at what do you desire to experience in your home and how do you want it to support you? So if abundance is what you desire. Then you would look at the things in your environment and ask yourself the question, does this object represent abundance to me? And does it make me feel abundant? So if you have a lot of, let's say you have a lamp in a room or in your office that is broken and you haven't fixed it for, I don't know, 5 years, and it's still sitting there. Like when you look at it, does that make you feel abundant? Or does it give you like the thoughts of, oh, I can't ever, I said I was going to fix it and I haven't fixed it. I don't ever finish what I start. Or I don't say, you know, I don't follow through with what I say I'm going to do. Does it give you thoughts like that? Or does it make you like, does it make you feel abundant? Like, I wouldn't think so. So that would be a situation where either, okay, you either fix it or get rid of it and replace it with something that does make you feel abundant.
That's so funny that you brought that up, because for me, there was something that I always loved, but it had a crack in it. And I, every time I looked at it, I still loved it. But then the question came to me, Linda, you are worthy of having one that is not cracked. It became a worth thing too, right? Mm-hmm. Like the lamp, the broken lamp. Why would you want to hold on to something? You are worthy of having a lamp that works. So do you notice some of the stuff that this work brings up is we look at our own self-worth issues?
Yes, and it could bring up a lot of issues. Self-worth is one of them. It could also, do you trust that the universe will provide for you? Do you trust that you are safe? So it could bring up issues of self-worth, of trust. It could also, you'd be surprised when people delve into like the reasons for keeping different kinds of clutter. It could, you know, some of it is tied to family history or your relationship with your parents or your grandparents and habits that you have that you're not even aware of. So when we get to when we start looking at the root of, you know, why we keep certain types of clutter, a lot of emotional mindset things could also come up to be released.
Well, that was a big one when we were helping our elderly neighbor a few years ago. And there were certain things they were preparing for, you know, what may come with his health. And they had asked for my help because I was really close to him. And there was don't forget, he was from the generation back then, he was in his 80s. So he was from the generation of, you know, lack and struggle, even though he was wealthy now. And he would say the funniest things. I'd go, why do you need six of these? He goes, well, you never know if one's going to break. But he's 85 years old, right? Mm-hmm. He couldn't let things go because he had that mindset of, I think if it goes back to what you just said about not believing the universe will support him if he gave up five and kept one. Right? It's like holding on so tightly to what is, because really you don't trust the universe or trust divine or whatever your source is. Did you find a lot of people hold on for that reason?
I do. And sometimes it's, you know, they don't believe that, they don't trust that they're going to continue to be able to get what they need when they need it. Sometimes it could just be an unconscious habit. So if you like grew up, if you or your parents grew up during the Depression or some other time where you had to keep the extras because you weren't going to get anything else, it's just like an unconscious habit of, oh, I have to have, you know, extra of the extras. And one interesting phenomena that we find in clutter clearing is that if there's something that you're really attached to, and you know, it could be, you know, a kitchen spoon, a special spoon, or anything, a blender or something, like I can't get rid of this because I won't be able to get another one. And then you finally get rid of it. Chances are, within a very short period of time, you are going to find yourself in a circumstance where you think you need that object. You're like, oh no, I knew I shouldn't have given that away because now I need it. And that tends to happen a lot. I think it's that you're reinforcing your own fears when that comes up. But I think it also allows us to be more creative in finding solutions like, okay, well, I don't have it. So what am I going to do? What are my other options?
Makes you think outside the box.
Yes.
So I've seen you share that clutter clearing is about more than just removing physical clutter. So explain that to the listeners who may be new to this whole conversation.
So there's also, there are different aspects of clutter in our lives. And most of the time it's physical, we can see it in the physical, but we can also have mental clutter. So if you have, let's say, a to-do list that just continues on for pages and pages, and you don't ever seem to get anything done, but you're always adding more stuff to the list, that would be an example of mental clutter. Like you have all these things that you say you want to do, but you're not getting them done. So either they're not that important, or your priorities have shifted, or maybe you could delegate it to somebody else, but it's cluttering up your mental space. It's also, if we think about time clutter, like many of us, especially women, are overcommitted and our schedules are full. And some of us have difficulty saying no. So if our schedules are always full, how can we welcome in new opportunities that will help us to grow and support us? Another example could be if you have a lot of unfinished projects around your house, like even if you shove it under the bed, put it in the closet where you can't see the clutter, emotionally and mentally, subconsciously even, you still know those things are there and you started it and you didn't finish it. So that also weighs on us as another form of like energetic clutter that holds us back from what we really want to do.
That really speaks to me. When I was young, that was me, the energetic clutter of unfinished projects, artworks, needlepoint, everything. My mother would always say, "You never finish anything." And I realized after I hit a certain age how much it was weighing me down. I didn't understand about energy or all these concepts. It was just this knowing of either pass them on to someone else or let them go, because I could feel the weight, right? Mm-hmm. I could feel the self-judgment. The self-judgment was weighing me down.
Yeah, that's a big, self-judgment is a big clutter culprit. Especially when we are clutter clearing, as much as possible, do it without judgment. Because, we have these things, we acquired them for a reason, but, now we're, if you're at this time when you are clutter clearing, you might not need it anymore. And a lot of times people feel guilty because maybe, you spent a lot of money on this. How can you just give it away? Or somebody in your family gave it to you. You're thinking about their feelings when, they might come over and find that it's not there anymore or that you gave it away and they'll be hurt. So there's a lot of things can come up with when you're clutter clearing, but one of the biggest ones is self-judgment.
Yeah, it was a big one. I know it was a big one for me. And the other thing is, I'm so glad that you covered the physical, the mental, and the energetic, because we are multidimensional, right? It isn't just what we can see. It's also what we feel and what's weighing us down. So I think I love that you covered that because it gives everyone such insights. What kind of resistance might we come up for us during clutter clearing, and how can we work through or release that resistance?
So one of the biggest ones we talked about already, which is, I can't give this away because I'm going to need it.
Oh, yes.
But resistance can show up in a lot of different ways, through procrastination, not wanting to give away certain things. So if you have a collection of, let's say, certificates or trophies from when you grew up, you could be attached to them because they represent the achievements that you have. Now, giving away the trophy isn't going to change that you didn't achieve that goal or, you know, win the race or finish that course. Having the thing reminds you of it, but taking that away doesn't take away from who you are. So I think a lot of times people need reminders, or they hold on to the reminders of what they've done in the past. And it kind of keeps you focused more on the past than what do I have to look forward to in the future. And so with things like that, we could, you know, some people take pictures of the objects before they give them away. Sometimes just like mapping out and creating goals and intentions for the future can help to release some of those things of the past that don't have as much meaning, don't really have as much meaning, but we're still holding on to them because it's built into our identity, and that it scares people to get rid of things that kind of represent them.
Yeah, I can remember when we were moving out of the big house, I had the plaque from when I won SBA's Entrepreneur of the Year, I think back in 2000. So it was 2019 when we were purging the house. And I remember looking at it going, there is no emotional need for me to keep this plaque. But for years, I believed I had to keep it because, like you just so beautifully described, in releasing it, it was almost like nothing can take it away just because I tossed the plaque. Does that make sense? So is that what you're talking about? That just because I tossed it, I had that experience. That experience is part of who I am. I don't need that physical item, in my case, to keep me anchored to that time period. That's what it felt like to me anyway.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it was like had become an anchor. And when I let it go, it was done with love and gratitude for the experience, but I didn't need it to prove an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Felicia, we're going to take our final break. We come back, we can talk more about resistance, and then we can close out in the last segment about some simple steps we can take in our homes to welcome in more abundance. So I will be back in a moment with Felicia Messina DeHaiti. You can learn more at FeliciaDeHaiti.com. We'll be right back, my friends.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Do you struggle with what's next in your life or business journey? You hold the answers. It's time to go within so you can hear the wisdom of your own truth, unleash your unique power, and be confident in your next step. Sacred Possibilities mentor and spiritual advisor, Kimberly Watipka, empowers women and female entrepreneurs to embrace a life of wholehearted devotion to themselves and teaches them to live from the truth of their heart, rather than other people's expectations, so they can awaken to what the flow of life wants to bring through them. She is a certified EFT practitioner with dual degrees in business and spiritual studies. She is honored to help women come home to themselves and take a stand for who they truly are. Kimberly invites you to learn more about her offerings at KimberlyWatipka.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. So happy that you're here with us today. I am with Felicia Messina de Haiti. We're talking about feng shui, abundance, clutter clearing, and energy. So what are some of the other ways that resistance might come up for us?
So it could come up in different fears that if we don't have, a lot of times it is in, what if I need this someday? So if you graduated from college and with an accounting degree and you still have all your accounting books, but now, let's say you're a yoga teacher, like, do you really need all those accounting books? So sometimes it's fear that you'll lose your identity or that you won't be the same. Sometimes it could be fear of, do I really want to step into this new life, or feeling like you need an anchor to kind of keep you like, okay, this is who I am. I don't want to change too much, but even though I'm saying I want something different, because we like, as humans, we like consistency. Sometimes we can feel resistance comes up as guilt, especially if you've been the keeper of the family heirlooms, that, you feel like it's your responsibility to keep all these things, even though you don't have space for them. You don't have physical space for them, and they really have no meaning for you beyond them having meaning for somebody else.
That's a big one. That's a big one. Cause my mom's 84 in the last 3-4 years, she started clearing out, and guess what she was? She was a photo person. She is that keeper all the way back to generations. She has photos from when she was a child, from all her brothers and sisters. She became the photo holder. So then suddenly she says, you kids come and get what you want. We're like, we don't want any of that. Like, what do we want? Something that's 80 years old? Like, there's no meaning for us. She had to go through, and I had to help her go through a lot of healing of that it's okay to release them, right? Because she was the keeper of the memories. And I had to go through my own while she was doing that of, do I need all these pictures from my childhood? I'm talking about, Felicia, every photo you could possibly think of. Every me and my brothers and sisters, she had thousands for each of us. And I'm like, I didn't need that. I grabbed about 22 key memories, and those are the photos I wanted. I didn't want all the rest. For what reason, right? That was my personal thing. I know some people really love the photos. I didn't need them. But I had to go through a whole process of, is it okay not to want them when they're so important to her? So there were some big ahas there for me too. So we know that everyone loves to know how they can bring in more abundance. So what are some simple steps that we can take in our homes to welcome more abundance into our lives?
So I always say the first step is the clutter clearing. But beyond that, making sure that in our home, we talked about the abundance corner being the back left corner of a room. So yeah. you can set up like a wealth corner or like a wealth station in your room, or a wealth altar, whatever you would like to call it. Where you might have either some people have little water fountains in that space, little indoor water fountains to represent money flowing, abundance flowing. you may use like an altar cloth in that area, maybe a purple, which represents abundance, or maybe some citrine stones. Or you could just look at your spaces and make sure you put in images or artwork that to you represent abundance. So you want to think about things that, like plants that have upward growth. So if you think about your abundance growing, make sure that you're, you know, going back to the front door, making sure that the front door is free of clutter, that the door works properly, that it opens fully so that you can welcome in all that abundant energy into your home. And another area to focus on is your stove, which is a symbol of abundance. The stove, the flames on the stovetop. So making sure that you keep the stove in good working condition, that the burners are all clean, and that you like alternate which burners you use. You're not always focused on using just one burner, because you want to keep that, you know, abundance energy like fired up.
Oh, I love this. I'm taking notes as you're speaking. So for the plants, do you have any specific plants, as someone that doesn't know a lot about plants? Like a mother-in-law's tongue, you're talking about ones that grow straight up, right? More than the ones that hang. So we're looking for plants that, that rise up.
Yes. And also there is a like a feng shui money plant. I'm not a huge plant person either.
No, I'm known as the plant killer. It's the family joke. I can grow pothos. I got it all over my office. But anything else, my family says, run, plant, run. Don't let her buy you.
And there is, so if you are not a plant person, so a lot of times in feng shui, I see, I've read where you should not have fake plants. But I believe that if you have a fake plant that is nicely dusted and looks abundant or feels abundant, then that's much better than having a half-dead struggling plant.
Yeah, because that means your abundance is struggling. Years ago in my other office at the other house, because I kill plants, I'm better now, but back then especially, I did get a beautiful realistic looking plant, but because I was nervous about the feng shui, I actually put real dirt in it. Nobody could tell. And then I put a citrine in it, in an amethyst, because I was like, I want to elevate that it's fake, but at the same time, exactly what you said, walking into my office and seeing a dead spider plant didn't make me feel abundance, especially knowing that it was in my abundance corner. I finally said no. So I want to add some more stuff in my area. Like my office is completely feng shuied, in the abundance corner, all that. But I want to finish the lower level, like the living level, and walk through one more time. But it's, for me, it's consistent. I'm always checking every area, not just every room. I check the abundance section of each room, and then the main left corner. So you shared so many amazing tips with our audience today, Felicia. Is there any, we have about 2 minutes left, is there any additional piece of wisdom or insight that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Just that it always starts with an intention. So even if, you know, you don't get the, you know, the feng shui right according to, you know, a book, as long as you hold the intention of what you want to bring into your life and you take action based on that intention, it will draw to you that which you desire.
I love that. You shared so much wisdom here, but I want to invite everyone, please visit Felicia at FeliciaDehady.com. You'll receive a complimentary gift. You'll get to explore all her offerings, including her certification courses in the topics of interior alignment, feng shui, space clearing, soul coaching, and more. So thank you, Felicia, for joining me today. Always a pleasure to have you on the show and co-create with you.
Thank you, Linda.
Blessings, everyone. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.